God will take care of you, be not afraid. He is your safeguard through sunshine and shade, tenderly watching and keeping his own. He will not leave you to wander alone. God will take care of you still to the end. Oh, what a Father, Redeemer, and Friend. Jesus will answer wherever you call. He will take care of you, trust him for all. God will take care of you through all the days, shielding your footsteps, directing your way. He is your shepherd, protector, and guide, leading his children where still waters glide. God will take care of you still to the end. Oh, what a Father, Redeemer, and Friend. Jesus will answer wherever you call. He will take care of you, trust him for all. You live, granting you blessings no other can give. He will take care of you when time is past. Safe to his kingdom will bring you at last. God will take care of you still to the end. Jesus will answer whenever you call. He will take care of you, trust him for all. He will take care of you, trust him for all.
Indeed he will. He will take care of us in everything that we go through. We can trust him in everything. We can trust him. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 11. Would you go to Luke chapter 11? This is one of my favorite passages. If I could say stories, a perspective on a narrative that happened back in Jesus' time. Luke chapter 11. Wouldn't it be that long ago that I preached on Luke 11? I think Ezekiel preached on Luke 11 within the past year or so. And so you have heard this story. You've heard the passage preached several times. And it's just the case that we have our next statement that our Lord makes concerning I am. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. It's interesting because I was reading through the chapter early in the week, maybe even last week. I forget when the Lord gave me this passage, but I was reading through it. And there was another verse that stuck out to me, and I pretty much decided to set aside and to wait for his I am statement that would come later in the chapter. And I decided that I would just go with that, this other verse, and I thought, wow, that's so good. Well, when I got to studying that verse in the whole passage, it was so neat how it worked out, because naturally Jesus' statement on I am is the answer to the whole thing. And so we are doing the next statement of Jesus' statement of I am here in Luke chapter 11, and able to look at the passage that I was able to look at. So here's the question. Does everything in life make sense? Does everything that happens in life make sense? I'm getting lots of these. You're right. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. And I think that you find it. In your lives, are there things in your life that just, maybe in the past, haven't made sense? I want you to take some time to think about that. Think about some of those things that maybe you sought the Lord, you prayed, or just something, and you knew what God's will was. And then a curveball was thrown, and it just doesn't make sense. And you scratched your head, and maybe now as you look back, maybe it makes sense, but maybe it doesn't still make sense. And I will say this, it might never make sense on this side of heaven, but I can tell you that it will make sense, and it does make sense. We just don't see it. But the question, does everything make sense? It's interesting that this week I took one of my children to a doctor, and we were there at the doctor, and one of the doctors was just asking me, and I just kind of out of the blue, a question was asked to me. He knows that I'm a pastor. I haven't really known exactly where this individual stands with the Lord. But the question was asked, we were talking about some of the things doctors talk about, the physical things. And the question was then asked, do you ever get questions to you from your people asking you why God does certain things? And I thought, that's an interesting question of all weeks that he asked me. I said, well, to tell you the truth, I'm preaching on that this Sunday. He said, really? He said, there's some things in life that don't make sense. And what's your answer? And so then he gave me the liberty to, and I was just able to go through, here's my study. And of all things, this appointment was on Wednesday. My message was pretty much already done. And I was able to go through my message and explain, and it was like, yeah, that's good. And anyway, I just thought that was very interesting of all weeks that this doctor asked me that question. Do you ever get people that ask why, and like things just don't make sense? And I was like, wow. So this morning, we're looking at this idea of when things don't make sense. And of course, going along with the theme, our title is Our Lord as the Resurrection and the Life. Our Resurrection and the Life. Honestly, there's times that things don't make sense. All throughout history, some make sense, but there's so many things that just don't make sense. Why does God do this? It doesn't make sense. Do you know the story of Luke 11, the story of Lazarus? I hesitate because part of me wants to read the whole chapter, but as you look, you see that the chapter is quite long, isn't it? 54 verses. We wouldn't have to read them all because it's not, we don't have to go the whole thing, but this passage, excuse me, I said Luke, did I say Luke 11? John 11, I'm sorry. I just looked down at Luke 11 and it scared me. I said, that does not the passage that I picked. It's John 11, and my marker's right in the right spot. I just opened up to Luke 11. Don't know how that happened. I said, wow, that's not about... Okay, Luke, John chapter 11, the story is still, it's a long chapter. And I just don't know that we want to take the time. I wish I knew how familiar everyone was with it, because this is such an amazing story. As we look through Luke 11, what's the dilemma? What's the dilemma? You notice in verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. We know that Jesus had close friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, okay? And so they were very close friends, and Jesus spent a lot of time with these three, a lot of time, in Bethany. And that he would go, I think this was a normal spot that he would stop at, stay the night, spend time eating with them, talk with them as they were there. Well, the story is that Jesus finds, or well, he doesn't find out yet, but Lazarus gets sick. And he's very sick. Mary and Martha are very concerned about it. Jesus is away, going through discipleship with his disciples, and he's a good distance from Bethany, and he's going about, and Mary and Martha get very concerned. You see, if you just skim with me, because we don't have time to read it. Verse 3, they sent a message to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And so we get to verse, I've got to point it out now. Look at verse 4. It's very interesting what Jesus says. He says when Jesus heard that, and what did he hear? That Lazarus was sick, and sick, very sick. And so this is what he said in verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, it didn't make sense why Jesus would allow Lazarus to get sick. Now, I want you to think about your situations. Isn't it fair enough, humanly speaking, to say there's good reasons why even Mary and Martha might say, why would Jesus allow him to get sick? I mean, he's a close friend of Jesus. Jesus loves him. Why would he get sick? Now, you know the end of the story, right? You're familiar with the story? Lazarus gets sick, and he supposedly, I mean, Jesus said here that it's not unto death, but we know that Lazarus dies, don't we? And we'll talk about some of these things. He dies, and Jesus takes some time. He eventually goes back, and Martha and Mary both meet him before he's with Lazarus, and they meet him and said, you know, Master, why did you do this? And things don't make sense, and Jesus speaks to them and talks to them, and in this he says that he's the resurrection and the life. But then in the end, then Jesus goes up, he sees the crowd that is struggling over Lazarus' death, and then he goes up to the tomb and he prays to the Father, and then he says, Lazarus, arise. Lazarus, you know, come to life. And we know what happens, right? Does Lazarus come to life? He does. He walks out. Can you imagine all what the people think about that? We know the end of the story. But putting yourself in the story, is it legitimate to look at this as a normal human being? That when something like this would happen, you've got Jesus who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that Jesus is God, don't we? Jesus is God. Did Jesus have power to do anything besides sin? He did. He could do this. Could he have protected and kept Lazarus from death? He could have. And so, being a close friend to Lazarus, being God Almighty that could have done everything, was it humanly legitimate to look and ask Jesus, why would you allow Lazarus to even die? And we know the end. He's going to raise him back up again, right? You know, sometimes in life, we know that Jesus is going to do something. We know that God's going to take care of us. We know that he's going to provide for us. We know that he's going to be the victor. But isn't it amazing that we sometimes, you know, when we see things happen, why would you allow me to get sick? Why would you allow me to go through this turmoil? Why would you do that? It would have been so much easier. Why did we have to go through this? And it's very legitimate that Mary and Martha could be saying, Lord, this doesn't make, why did you do this? As we continue on through the story, what do we see happening when Jesus is, he gets the word that Lazarus is sick, and they want him to come. I mean, time is of the essence here with this sickness. And what do we find Jesus doing for the next couple days? Hurrying as fast as he can to Bethany? What does he do? Now, is he waits for 2 days before he says, all right, disciples, let's go. And he's already, you know, he's been dead. Until he gets back to Bethany, it would be 4 days. Now, is it not legitimate to stop and look at this story and say, why did you do this? Does it make human sense that Jesus would wait 2 days before he would leave? Does that make human sense? It doesn't make sense. And I would say that there's a legitimate concern that both Mary and Martha had when they said, why did you wait? I mean, we know that you could have helped Lazarus. We know that you could have helped him with his sickness before he died. Jesus, this does not make sense. Why? It didn't make sense. I mean, he's in this just dire situation. It doesn't make sense. Look at verse 15. The first two things don't make sense, but read verse 15. I'm not even reading. Look at down at verse 15. Is there a phrase in that verse that doesn't make sense? Say it loud, Dan. What did he say?
He was glad that he wasn't there.
Does that make sense to you? Now, I know we all have a perspective. We all know the end of the story. But just put yourself in the story. Does that statement that Jesus make, does that make sense? I'm glad for your sakes that I didn't get there? That's a head scratcher. What is he doing? Why? This, in fact, you could almost get a little bit bugged and bothered at Jesus, couldn't you? You're glad. You're glad that I'm... Okay, forget Mary and Martha and Lazarus right now. Think about your situation that you struggle with and you're frustrated. You don't know why things are going the way. I mean, this was the way things are supposed to work out with your week. And you planned it. And it was even for the Lord. God, you knew that I wanted to do this for you. And you're ruining things. Why would you do that? You know that I was planning on being a blessing to my neighbor. I was planning on doing this, and I was planning on doing something good. And God, you allowed this to come in. This doesn't make sense. And now you say, I'm glad for it. I'm glad that this is taking place. Or, you know, you have some, you know, upstanding Christian that walks in and says, God is so good, you know, at doing that for you, and you just want to punch him, right? Because you're like, what are you talking about? This is not good. And that's where Mary and Martha are at. This doesn't make sense. This story is not making sense. You know, even knowing the end of the story, why was it better to allow, you know, why it was allow Lazarus to die just to go back and raise him up? I mean, couldn't Jesus have saved a lot of struggle and trial? Couldn't he? I mean, wouldn't this? I mean, did Mary and Martha and all the village, did they go through a lot of turmoil in this story? I mean, think about when somebody dies. Think of all the emotion. Somebody that's close to you, you go through all the emotion. This wasn't some end of life expecting thing. This is Lazarus right in his life, and he dies, and it makes no sense. One thing after another doesn't make sense, and Jesus is happy that it happened. And then we get to this point and we say, this could have been so much better if you would have just done this. This makes no sense to me. And so there's a lot of questions of why. And you have those things in your life. Why? There's probably things that you're thinking of in life that you say, I have no clue why God did that. There are things in my life. I could name several for you at this moment. I could say, I have no idea why God allowed certain things. I don't know. I mean, I can give the spiritual answer and say, I know that God has something. I know he's got a good plan. In fact, Jesus is going to give a couple answers here that I honestly don't know that were very comforting to Mary and Martha. It's like what one of us would say to everybody else. You know, if somebody's having a difficult time, what would we tell people? Oh, my friend, God's going to get glory out of this. Now, think about that. Is that really helpful? Now, I know, get off your spiritual high horses and just get down to human level. When you're going through a difficult time, you know the spiritual answer. God's going to get glory through this. But honestly, when you're in the midst of it and your friend comes and shows up to you and just smiles at you and says, God's going to get glory out of this. Is that just like, oh, thank you for reminding me. God's going to get glory out of this. Human, does that really help you a lot? I mean, again, I'm talking, don't be all spiritual. I know. Is it good that God's going to get glory? Yeah, of course, we all know that God gets glory. But does that really help us when we're Mary and Martha here? And it's just like, God's going to get glory. I'm thinking, I know, but that doesn't help me here. I'm still struggling. What was the other thing that, and if you look out through this, and I'm trying to save time here because I've already preached this. What's the second reason, and you're going to have to scroll through, what's the second reason? He says a couple times that God would get glory, and what's the other reason that he gives? Go ahead, look through it. What's the second reason why, and it's mentioned several times throughout, why God chose to do this. What's the second reason? Somebody tell me. That they would believe. Okay, so that God would get glory and that they would believe. Okay, so look, the first one didn't do much for you. What about the second? I'm doing this in your life and you're like, how? Why? This makes no sense to me. You know, and again, Jesus or the spiritual friend comes up to you and says, listen, it's going to help you in your belief. And your faith. Your faith is going to grow in this. Now, we want our faith to grow, right? I think all of us want our faith to grow. But is that a super comforting thing to think of when we're right in the middle? I mean, Mary and Martha are in tears. They've lost their brother. Jesus waited 2 days. He's 4 days late. He's in the grave, stinking. He's as dead as can be. I mean, Jesus picked to wait 4 days afterwards because there was no, you know how some people, they died and they came back to life. You know, this was no mistake. And I don't know about all those stories. But you have people that were this, you know, they were whatever for this long. This 4 days, there's no mistake. I believe there's a reason why there was a smell coming out of that tomb, because Jesus wanted to know this guy. But there's a lot of questions because he said this sickness isn't unto death. But do we know? Does everybody there know that the guy is dead? The answer? Yes. This guy is Lazarus, our friend, our brother, is dead. And Mary and Martha are there in tears and they're looking up at their master and they're saying, God, why did you do this? And he gives two reasons. He says, number one, so that I would get glory. And they kind of look down and like, that doesn't do anything for me, Master. And then he says that your faith would be deepened. And I'm telling you, in human perspective, that's still hard for at least me. Maybe you're more spiritual than I. But for me to say, I'm doing this so that your faith can be deepened. I want my faith deepened. But you know what? Sometimes I might be prone to say, I'd rather exchange it in. I didn't want that person to die. This is too hard for me. Do I really want my faith growing? Again, I know that we all do. I hope you want your faith to grow. And I hope at any cost. But honestly, when we're there with Mary and Martha, this is tough words to say. You know, my consolation is that God's going to get glory and my faith is going to be deepened. But you don't understand, God, that was my brother. He had a lot of life to live still. He was your friend, Jesus, and you allowed this to happen simply because you want to get glory and you want my faith to deepen? Why, Jesus, don't you know that my faith would have been greater in you if you had kept him alive? And I would say, man, God is good. He kept my brother alive. And we reason that way. My faith would have been better if I would have seen you. Like we could have bypassed all of this and I would have had greater faith. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we reason how we would have our best faith our way? God, I would believe you if you would do this. You know what? If you would supply all the money for me just like that, my faith would be amazing. And God doesn't. And you're like, what? That would have been the best thing. And I have you ever gotten in certain circumstances and you've thought through what the options could, how God could answer, how God could provide, how God could bless, and we come up with, and if this way would happen, that would be absolutely amazing. And God, my faith would be strong. And most of the time, does it happen that way? It rarely happens the way we think, right? And so you know what we really say? God, that would have been the best way you could have done it. This way, or whatever way you have, not so good. You know, this isn't good. Mary and Martha are in this situation. They are struggling. They're saying why. And Jesus gives them an answer so that I would be glorified and that you would believe. And for Mary and Martha, I don't think that they just said, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Good. Glorify God. And my faith is strengthened. It was worth it all. It was worth it all. Lazarus, it's okay. You're dead, but we have better lives from it. Is that where we see Mary and Martha in this story? No, and they are struggling. And Jesus gives some answers, and they're struggling. But listen to this, folks. I'm so glad that we have a God, that He knows our struggles. God, Jesus, knew Mary and Martha and what they needed, what they really needed. He knew. He said, I'm telling you all that this is for God's glory. I'm telling you all so that you believe. But you know, Jesus came down to their level. Haven't we seen that so many times when He makes His I Am statements? He comes down to their level and He says, listen, I'm going to give you something because I absolutely love you. I want this to make sense for you. I want this to make sense to you. Even when it doesn't make sense. And so that's where we're looking at this statement. So things, they don't understand what's going on. Things aren't making sense. So many times in our lives, things don't make sense. Why does God allow what He does in our lives? Things in the past. I don't know why this happened in the past. I don't know why this is happening right now. And I'm very confident there's going to be things in the future that we will not understand. And so He says, for His glory and our belief, really? For some it works, but for some of us it still doesn't make sense. And it's right here, right in the middle of this story, that Jesus makes a very bold statement. And He says, look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, and folks, this is His answer to it all. This is His answer to everything that Mary and Martha are going through. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, I want us to go back and look at verses 23 and 24. Look at verses 23 and 24. In verse 23, Jesus says what? He saith unto her, He's speaking to Martha, and this is what He says, thy brother shall rise again. And so, That was a good thing. I mean, was that encouraging? That's encouraging for Martha to hear, thy brother shall. Shall meaning what? In the future. He's going to rise. Here soon, he shall. It's very, very, very sure. He shall. And it's going to come here very soon. So Martha hears a good message here. Thy brother shall rise again. How did Martha respond to Jesus' statement? Martha saith unto Him, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You know, so she says, I know. You know, it's kind of like, I know that God will get more glory. I know that this is for my good. I know, Jesus, I know You've got a good plan. I mean, again, the two things, I'm going to get glory and You're going to believe. And here, Martha gets, you know, He's going to rise. And Martha, in her spiritual life, is what's she doing spiritually? She's looking at this truth in her perspective. Oh, I know, Jesus. I know what You're talking about. I know. And You're trying to tell me that this is something amazing, but I know. You're talking about the end. He's going to eventually rise, just like everybody else, other believers. You see what Martha's doing? She's doing this. I mean, God is trying to do some amazing things. You know, Jesus is trying to do some amazing things. He says he's going to rise again. And she's trying to spiritualize this and make little of what God's goodness is. I know. And I'm telling you, we are making, all of us are making, I am making very little about God's glory and for my faith. Those two things really ought to be very good and strong for us. But here, Martha is like, in our words, it's almost like she's saying, I know God's going to get more glory. I don't know that that means much to me. I know that this is for my good. I believe better. In other words, these truths really don't help me all that much. They really don't make me feel any better. And again, it is here that Jesus makes his bold statement. I am the resurrection and the life. So what is Jesus saying here? First of all, we go to this, the first two words. I am. What does I am? We've studied this year so much. I am. What does that mean? There's a disregard for time, right? I am means what with time? It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what time, because I am is right, is always. I am. Not I will be, I am. I am, right now, I am. So there's a disregard for time. There's a disregard for place. I am. Does I am exist only in certain places? No, I am is everywhere. There's a disregard for time. There's a disregard for place. There's a disregard for probability. I am means for sure. I am. There's no question. I might be, I may be, I was, I will be. No, I am. There's no regard for probability, and there's no regard for impossibility, because with God, all things are impossible, and he says, I am. He comes to Martha, and he says, Martha, and Mary, I'm sure, is there, and he says to these two ladies and to everybody that's listening, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, it doesn't matter at all. Did you hear that? It doesn't matter at all what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter at all what the circumstances in your life are. Whether Lazarus had been dead for 4 minutes or 4 days or 4 years, doesn't it, humanly speaking, seem more impossible the longer a person's dead that they could come to life? 4 minutes as opposed to 4 days. Which one is more probable? 4 minutes. Maybe. But 4 minutes. 4 years. What do you think? Is that possible? Not really. Humanly speaking, it's not possible. It's really not possible. Folks, it doesn't matter at all with I am. And that's one thing we need to learn about Jehovah. With I am, there is nothing impossible, because it's out of time, out of place. It doesn't matter about probability. It doesn't matter about impossibility. It doesn't matter at all, because of one person, and his name is I am. I am. I am. I am able to. And here Jesus is claiming this that he is Yahweh. He's claiming this. He says, I am. And there's everything is possible. I am. In your circumstances in life, as difficult as they may be, that you are asking why, I don't understand, and how did this happen, and I don't have any answers, you know what? It doesn't matter at all what's going on. It doesn't matter at all. That doesn't mean he doesn't care. Does Jesus care? Did he care about Lazarus? He did care. In fact, what do we see Jesus do? Oh, he did. It's one of the very few times that we see Jesus in his earthly ministry weep and shed a tear, because he loved Lazarus. But I think that he shed a tear because he loved these people. He looked around and he saw these people so, so dreadfully struggling. And he's making some bold statements that he said, listen, you don't have anything to worry about. But does Jesus care even when you sit there and say, why? This doesn't make sense to me. Why weren't you here? And when I don't understand even who Yahweh is, I am. When I don't understand, does Jesus still care about you? Is he looking at you saying, you ridiculous Christian that claims you have faith and trust in me and you don't even understand? Is that what we see here? I mean, we've got a group of people that are not understanding why Jesus is doing anything that he's doing, and yet, what do we see? And this is what I love about Jesus, folks. Because not only did he shed a tear, he cared, but he did something about it. And he made here. And it's not just that he rose, he raised Lazarus from the dead. We see, we all look at that as the highlight of this. Can I tell you that that was not the highlight? The highlight is the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. See, that just trumped everything. Everything of what he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am. What did he mean? I am what? The resurrection and the life. Go back up to verse 4. This was the verse that I wanted to, that I was going to preach on this verse, kind of in a different light. I wanted to give you this verse. Go back up to verse 4. What had Jesus heard? We see in verse 4 that he heard something. What had he heard? Lazarus is sick, right? Lazarus is sick. He's seriously sick. He is sick. Come, Jesus, come and help him. When Jesus heard that he was sick, if I could say that, he said, what did he say? This sickness is not unto death. Did Jesus just lie to us? Did Lazarus die? He did. Jesus said the sickness isn't unto death. So what's the answer here? Jesus said that this sickness is not unto death. Lazarus died and was dead 4 days. Did Jesus lie? Did he make a mistake? Did he not get it? What happens? Lazarus dies. We know that he was in the grave, he was dead 4 days, put in the tomb, and we know that Jesus showed up and raised him from the dead. Folks, what this is saying to us is this. He says, I am over everything. You see, when we look at death, there's some symbolism with death. It shows, in a sense, victory. Death has overcome what? Life. When a person succumbs to death, their life is, humanly speaking, in a sense, gone, right? Death has declared itself the victor. They are now in the grave. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am always. Disregard for time, disregard for place, disregard for the probability of anything happen and the impossibility of it happening. Jesus said, I am. And when he said, I am, he had every right to say that in light of verse 4 that said, this sickness is not unto death. Was this sickness and death unto death? Would death have victory in this circumstance, in this situation? What's the answer? It would not. He would overcome it. He would, listen, death itself, when matched with Jesus, isn't death. It does not overcome with him. Because he is over everything. He is over all. There is no other victor. There is no other death. There's no other defeat. This is not your end. And your circumstances will not overcome and win. Did Jesus ever tell us that we will not have difficulties? Did Jesus ever tell us that we will never have a social, problem or a dilemma with another person? He didn't. Did he tell us that we'll never get sick and get this and maybe even die of it? No, he never did. But the good news of Jesus saying, I'm the resurrection of the life, is he's telling us that he said, that will not have victory. Yes, there will be some difficulties, but you are going to win for absolute sure in your life. It's kind of amazing that we go through difficulties in our life and we go through a loss. We go through a time when we don't know, but Jesus always, 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 always wins every time. There's not a thing in my life and in your life that you will face that he will not be victorious. You know why? Because he is the resurrection and the life, and that is now. Yes, did Lazarus die for 4 days? He did, but overall, he was not dead. Death would not have victory over him. There was no victory over Lazarus. Why? Because of one person, I am. You see, this message is going to the fact of this. You always have active victory in Jesus because he is victory. He is life. He is resurrection. He is. You say, will I go through a season of death, if I could put it that way? Maybe so. You might be sick for a certain amount of time, and you'll have that. And you might say that looks like death. But my friend, when you have Jesus Christ, you already possess victory. You have it. It is sure as anything to come. It is sure. It is yours if you claim it. Martha had an interesting perspective. It's going to come. I know it's going to come. And what was Jesus' response to that? No, Martha, it is not going to come. It is here. You see, when we have Jesus, then you have victory now. You can go through your struggle. You can go through your Lazarus moment when everything has turned bad, and you still have victory. You've got him. You've got him. And what we've got to do is we've got to claim that. I think what Jesus wants them to do. Could Jesus heal Lazarus at any time? Could Jesus raise Lazarus up at any time? Could Jesus have kept Lazarus alive? He could. But he wanted these people to understand that it's not like I've got Jesus, I don't have Jesus, I've got him, and if you would have been here, I could have had this, and if you would have been here, and Master, where were you, and all that. No, he makes a statement. He says, people, I want you to know this. This is not, I don't just come and go as I please. I don't just show up to help you. I am your help all the time, and you always have life. There is no death. You have no death. You say, Pastor, I'm going through a death right now. I have a difficulty. This is bad. Everything in my life is bad right now. This is a bad circumstance. It's a bad situation at home, bad situation at work, bad situation financially, bad with this. You know, and in a sense, is Lazarus dead in this situation? Yeah, probably. He's dead. And you say, this is beyond this. You know, they already, you know, and I prayed for this. The money didn't show up, and they already turned me in, and they already reported, you know, I already have this going on. You know, it's kind of like saying he's been dead for 4 days. The good news is Jesus here is telling you this morning. He says, listen, friend, whatever your name is. He said, listen, I know that it seems like in your situation, I know that it seems like it's dead, and I know that it seems like it's gone. I know that it seems like you have been defeated. But with me, listen, and everybody listen to this. He says, with me, there is no death. With me, there is no other victor. There is nothing. Listen, I know that you're seeing it now, but I am going to show up, and I'm going to come, and there is going to be resolve. We might not understand it, but he is going to bring us the very best in life. Our job to do is only trust him. Only trust. We have got to take what Jesus said here to Mary or to Martha and says, I am the resurrection. And he was so clear that he looked her in the eyes. He says, Martha, I know that you're thinking that the best thing is this. You've got a picture of what's best. I know that this involved death. But he said, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know what Jesus is giving Martha there? He said, listen, I have complete victory over every single thing in your life. What looks like death is still victory. My friend, I want to leave you with this. No matter what happens in your life, you've got victory. And it cannot be taken away. It appeared that victory was taken away from Lazarus. It appeared that victory was taken away from Mary and Martha. And Jesus shows up and says, when I am with you, listen, there is no victory taken away. You have it. Folks, what that does for me and what that does for you in our lives, when we see that everything goes bad, we can look up and we can claim, listen, no, I know that it seems, but I know that there's victory because Jesus said, because he is the victory. He is the resurrection. He is the life. When Jesus told Martha and Mary, when he told them, he said, listen, this is for God's glory. This is for your good. Your faith is going to be strengthened. They just thought, what is this? But when Jesus came to them and said, okay, listen to this. I am. And I don't know that Mary and Martha completely got it at that point in time. But for us that are living here this morning, when we see I am, folks, that's not just, wait, your victory will come. No, my friend, he's making a bold statement. He said, your victory is here. You have it. There's some byproducts that are going to come. Guess what will happen? God will get glory, and your faith will be strengthened. And I'm glad that there's these blessings, these benefit package that we get along with it. But the message that Martha had to learn that day, and the message that we have to learn today, is that he is, and in death there's victory. In your things, we started off by saying, are you in circumstances that you don't understand, you don't know what's going on? What Jesus wants you to see this morning is this. You'll not just someday be delivered. In one day you'll see God was good. You know, when you get into heaven and you're there with your harp and you're playing it and you look down and you say, oh yeah, I can see how that was good. That's not the point he's trying to make. He's making the point. He says, listen, you have me. And when you have me, you have everything. There is no victory. You've got the life. I am going to do everything in your life to make it right and to be good. And what you have now is right. It's good. It's life. There's no death. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand this. My fear is that I have not made this clear. Lord, I'm so thankful for that statement that you gave. I am the resurrection and the life. If we would simply claim this truth of who you are, then we can recognize that there is no defeat. He didn't really die. I mean, that's Jesus is saying the sickness is not to death. There's no defeat. For me, that is so helpful to know when I get into circumstances, financial, social, spiritual. I have victory. It's not going to overcome me. It's not going to overtake me. There's not going to be everlasting death. No, you've got answers, and I have life right now. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at with the things going on in their lives, and probably many of them feel that there's no hope. They probably feel like Mary and Martha. He's almost to die, or now he's dead. Now he's been dead for 4 days. The situation is just gone, and I'm a loser. I've lost. God, you've let me lose. Lord, I pray that every person in the room would realize, no, we're victors, because he's life, and he has the glory, and he has the best for us if we would simply trust him. God, would you help us to trust you, that you are the resurrection and the life? Lord, that we would place our faith and trust in that and believe, not only for salvation, but for our lives. So God, help us. Help us to see that. In Jesus' name we pray.